Well, for more on this, I'm joined now by the Defence Minister, Maurice Payne. Maurice Payne, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Michael.
$30 billion in 10 years, can we afford it? Such a big spend when almost every other area is being told to tighten their belts.
Well, I think what you will see when the Defence White Paper and the associated material with it, including our Integrated Investment Program, is released today, that this is the result of a very careful and methodical assessment of need into the future, matched with a revised force structure, and that was commenced in 2014. That process has been meticulous, including externally cost assuring the integrated investment program as well. So I think it sits fairly solidly, in fact, as a foundation for what we need to do in defence.
Okay, there's a lot of fixation on this 2% of GDP figure. There has been for a number of years now. Is it the right parameter to put on defence spending anyway?
Well, it's not just, as you describe it, in your words, a fixation that occupies some minds here. It's also a focus internationally in a number of our partners and allies. What I think it shows, though, is that we inherited a system in defence which was severely degraded. And let's be frank about this: the 2013 White Paper didn't include any funding to actually support the developments that were needed. So we're inheriting that as well as needing to do our own work for the future. So that is going to enable us to meet our election commitment of 2013 to reach 2% of GDP within the decade.
Okay, this white paper, we understand, will underline finally the decision to build 12 new submarines. Why have you returned to that after toying with potentially only building 8?
I think that's a matter we might pursue later in the day, Michael, in terms of the official release of the white paper. But one of the most important aspects is making sure that we have the capability that Australia needs to protect ourselves, to do the work that we need to do both in our region and further afield. And part of that contemplation has been through the force structure review process, the development of that capability and acquisition plan, as I've indicated, and that includes the acquisition of superior submarines.
And they'll be built here in Australia?
Well, as you know, and all of the commentators know, the competitive evaluation process is underway. Each of the international participants in that process was asked to provide a submission that covered three build approaches: an entirely international build, a hybrid build, and a domestic build. Mm. The competitive evaluation process is being considered now by officials, by experts within defence, and we will get their advice in due course, and the government will announce its decision then.
Okay. An extra 5,000 troops, is that soldiers, air and navy personnel? And why do we need so many extras?
Well, 5,000 is an interesting number. Of course, that's what happens when perhaps not entirely accurate or detailed information is released in advance of an official process.
How many then? Fill us in.
Well, in fact, I think it will be clear today from the release of the white paper that it's more like 2,500 new troops and just over 2,000, about 2,300 redefined jobs within the existing ADF. So that is a combination, added up to 5,000.
Yeah, almost an extra 5,000 personnel then.
The personnel, the 2,300 are existing roles, but yes, it will be a very significant boost.
So, and as you say, 2,500 of those will be active serving military personnel. Why do we need so many extra?
Well, we have, as you've already alluded to, we have some very significant capability acquisition to pursue. That includes the maritime focus in our naval vessels. It includes a significant amount of work in the land program for Army. And of course, we are bringing online relatively soon the Joint Strike Fighters, new surveillance aircraft. So all of those things we'll see new tasks, new roles, new opportunities. And hopefully, I'm very positive about this. I hope that that Australians who have a desire to serve will see this as a real opportunity to participate in a modern, engaged, contemporary, agile military in Australia in the 21st century.
This is the third defence white paper since 2009, and in all of them, China has been something of a central theme. What's this one going to tell us about our relationship with China?
Well, I think you will find that it's very consistent with the views that senior members of the government have been expressing in recent times. We obviously have a very, very valuable relationship with China. At the same time, though, and I did hear the secretary of my department briefly before we began this interview, at the moment, though, we are very clear in making our views known and openly known to China and to other claimants of locations in the South China Sea, that we don't support that sort of activity and behaviour. We don't support their unilateral declarations about which particular growth or otherwise belongs to them or someone else. So we would much rather see a code of conduct adopted in that area. We would much rather see a much more cooperative approach. And we'll be continuing to say that. We will also be continuing to say that Australia has consistently and strongly supported freedom of overflight and freedom of navigation in accordance with international law, and we will continue to say that.
And should we be doing more? Should we be actually joining with the US and conducting a formal freedom of navigation exercise in the South China Sea, which is something I understand Tony Abbott is going to suggest in a speech in Japan this weekend?
Well, those are definitely matters for government, and I've also made it very clear that I don't intend to make a public comment on the potential future activities of the ADF in that regard.
That's an increasingly delicate dance with the Chinese, though, isn't it? You'd have to concede that.
Well, it's a very complex environment, absolutely no doubt about that, and one in which we remain consistent in our views and also consistent in acknowledging the strength of our relationship with China.
Why was it necessary then to send a senior defence official to Beijing to brief the Chinese on what was coming in this white paper? That suggests that that delicate dance is particularly difficult at the moment.
Well, I don't think that's anywhere close to accurate, to be frank, Michael. The role of our department in producing a new white paper is to most definitely talk it through with our nearest neighbours and our close partners and allies. So, not just China, but in Indonesia, in Japan, with our colleagues elsewhere in the region, with the United States, with the United Kingdom, with other with New Zealand. All of those discussions have been had, and by no means confined to China.
All right. Well, this is, as I said, the third defence white paper since 2009. The third to decide and explain how Australia's defence policy needs to address the fundamental challenges in our region. Is this one going to stand the test of time, or are we likely to have to redo it again in another couple of years?
Well, I think these are iterative processes. I don't think they're actually set in concrete. And we live in an extraordinarily dynamic world environment, and we also face some very significant and constantly changing threats. And the threat that Daesh poses to us on our own shores, in our region, and then further afield, where the men and women of the ADF are participating in the task against Daesh in Syria and Iraq, is one that changes every day. I'd very much like to see a capacity for government to make regular statements around the status of defence strategy, around our integrated investment program, the progress we're making under the defence industry policy statement we released today. I think that sort of a dynamic approach is in fact very important.
Okay, increased spending, increased troops does suggest that that you think the government thinks that we'll need to do more in our region in the future.
We are most certainly very committed to engaging further in the region and to extending our international engagement through defence activities. A number of ways we're able to do that, increasing our representation diplomatically in the first instance, but also in engaging with our close neighbour nations in training and in exercises. We already have very extensive programs of training and exercises that do include our neighbours, but we, in this white paper, will be making it clear that we can grow that we can develop that. That helps enormously. It helps in interoperability, it helps in relationship building, it helps in our awareness of our own region and working with our colleagues. There's no substitute for that sort of activity.
Okay, Maurice Payne, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Michael.
That's Defence Minister Maurice Payne.